What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. We are simulcast on the Team 980 on the AM side. Check us out in Richmond on 910 The Fan, and we are streaming live on the Odyssey app wherever you may be. On the TV side, NBC Sports Washington. All right, joining us right now, like he does every Friday at this time, is bestselling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. Golf season in full swing, so it's time to get into Golfdom. Take advantage of their 50% trade bump. That's right, get rid of your old clubs and get credit plus a bonus 50% towards anything in the store through Sunday. Golfdom, live the game. They now have a location in Rockville, Maryland. I was there earlier this week, and we bought a new driver for my wife.
Very good.
Hey, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well.
Great.
Did you have a good time with David?
We did. Yes. It was a surprise guest visit and had a lot of fun with Faraday.
Yeah. I had dinner with him the night you guys had him on, and I hadn't realized, several people had texted me that he was on with you, but I hadn't realized that he came into the studio. So the Live people did a good job delivering him to you.
Yes, they did.
And I want to say for the record, though, because Drav was telling me that he told you guys he wasn't going to read the book because he lived it.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's a lie. He read it. I sent it to him before it came out, largely so he could fact check me.
Okay.
He's read it, just for the record.
Got it.
That is good to know.
He was very,
and he liked it.
Very nice.
Or at least he said so.
Very nice dude. Very nice.
Yes, he is a nice man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Live Golfer, we haven't talked to you since Brooks Koepka. One, what do you make of a Liv golfer winning a major?
Well, obviously Liv and Greg Norman is going to make a very big deal out of it, and I understand that. I would do the same thing if I were them. Brooks Koepka is a very good golfer, and when healthy in his career has been outstanding. I mean, this is his fifth major. It's not like he's Taylor Gooch, who's won twice on the Live Tour and came out of nowhere and won the PGA. His third PGA title, excuse me, I'm hiccuping this morning. He's an excellent player. He's a good guy, by the way. I've always liked Brooks Koepka. I tweeted that earlier this week. I first interviewed him in 2015 when I was doing my research for the first major and liked him and found him honest and sense of humor, self-deprecating. I know a lot of people find him to be cocky and arrogant, and he can be cocky at times. And if you're that good, there's reason to be cocky. But I enjoyed seeing him win. I obviously would have preferred to see Rory win, but Rory was never really seriously in contention. It is a good thing for Live Golf, though. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy when you look at Koepka's numbers with the five majors. And he's just, he just takes the majors much more seriously than a standard event.
Yeah.
And he's a gamer. Had the serious injury. Didn't really know how serious it was until he talked about it, certainly on the Full Swing documentary on Netflix. And I mean, he's one short of Phil. He's 33 years old. He's got one less major than Phil.
Right.
And Phil's had an unbelievable career. If Koepka can stay healthy, I mean, he could easily put up, you know, 8 or 9.
Yeah, he could. Yeah. He could. Now, you just never know.
Right, right.
You know, Phil won a major when he was 50. Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson won their last majors at 34. Ben Hogan won his first major at 34. That's what's unique about golf, is you never know when guys are going to find it and when they're going to lose it. But you're right. I mean, Koepka's 33. He's also he's played very well at the Masters. He's been second there a couple times. He can win on any golf course. And as you said, Jason, if he stays healthy, who knows how many majors he'll end up winning. And it's interesting, though, because he's won more majors than regular tournaments, which shows you how focused he is on the majors. Now, Jack Nicklaus did that, but Nicklaus was so good he would win regular tournaments anyway. Koepka's not as good as Nicklaus because other than Tiger Woods, nobody's been as good as Nicklaus.
So, John, another huge story out of the PGA was what Michael Block, the club pro, did, making a top 15 finish. He pocketed nearly $300K for that win. It's a great feel-good story. And so he goes to the Schwab, and he shoots an 81. But we were talking about that earlier. Like, that's kind of the natural order of things. Like, he had a great run, a great moment, but to expect this guy to keep doing that on a weekly basis, it seems a little far-fetched.
Right. Totally predictable. You know, the guy lived a week that he'd never lived before in his life, starting with last Thursday and then through the three-day run-up to the Colonial. And it was completely predictable that it happened. He was probably emotionally drained, in a good way, but still drained. And he's not that good a player. I mean, remember, there's a reason why he's a club pro. All these guys who are club pros are not club pros by choice. They all wanted to be on the tour and realized they weren't good enough to be on the tour.
Correct.
And Michael Block is a very good club pro. He's played well at times through the years, but he had the week of his life. And the golf course obviously fit him. He's a hell of a putter. But being a hell of a putter doesn't help when you're hitting it all over the planet like he did yesterday. And but good for him. I mean, you know, he's going to miss the cut today. So what? He had an extraordinary week. That hole in one on Sunday, you know, where he flew it into the hole, and Rory had to tell him it went in. That was great theater. I mean, you had to enjoy that.
So, John, you wrote a book, Next Man Up, all about the NFL and following the Ravens for a season, and this week, we've spent a lot of time talking about OTAs because that's what we do, and Chase Young not being there. I wonder what your take on it. Is it a big deal? No big deal that somebody like Chase Young doesn't show up for OTAs?
I've never thought OTAs were a big deal. I still remember when Joe Gibbs came back for Joe Gibbs 2.0, and my colleague Tom Boswell was there for the first day of OTAs. And they ran some play from when they scrimmaged, and Boz basically wrote that they were going to win the Super Bowl because Boz does tend to get excited. OTAs are there more for rookies, for guys trying to make the team. They want to sort out who should legitimately have a chance in camp and who they should cut. They cut people after OTAs. So Chase Young is a different kind of story because they didn't give him his fifth year guarantee, and he's playing for a contract with someone this season. And he's made the decision, I guess, because I've heard nothing that he's not healthy, that he's going to come to training camp ready to go and skip the OTAs or skip at least the first week of OTAs. There are mandatory OTAs. So I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. You know, you see guys, when I was doing the Ravens book in the OTAs, Kyle Bowler would throw a good pass, and all of a sudden the Ravens were, you know, going to the Super Bowl, and then he would throw an interception, and the season was over. The media makes too big a deal out of OTAs, and part of it is because they need something to talk about on all these TV shows about the NFL. And I mean, it's like this whole thing with LeBron James. He's not retiring.
No, never.
You know, that. I mean, he had a moment of frustration after his team got swept, which is understandable. And said, I played 20 years. I don't know if I'm going to play anymore. He's going to play next year. He's still one of the 10 best players in the NBA. He's still guaranteed $50 million for playing next year, and he loves to play basketball. So, but of course, it gives the shows something to talk about. Will LeBron retire? You know, will he go somewhere else? What, blah, blah, blah. And he's going to play. It gives people something to talk about. OTAs are the same way.
Is the Heat-Celtics series intriguing to you at all now that the Celts have come back?
It's become more intriguing. I mean, the Heat are so banged up. Yeah. They're so banged up. I mean, it's amazing they got to where they got without Oladipo and Herro. And now they have a third starter, Vincent, hurt. We don't know if he'll play in game six. It's become intriguing. And if the Celtics were to come back and win, it would be the first time in history, and that's a big deal. But you'd have to sort of put a mental asterisk next to it because of all the Heat injuries. But still, down 3-0 and losing game three by 26 and then coming back would be unique because nobody's ever done it.
John, there's a new boss in town for the Wizards. Michael Winger's hired as the president of Monumental Basketball. He will hire a GM, I would guess, before the NBA draft.
You'd hope.
In June, it's a big rebuild for him. What do you think the first steps for Winger have to be to get the Wizards back in the playoff hunt?
Well, he's got to make a decision. Does he stick with the core three, two of whom could leave this summer? Or does he just knock it all down and start from the beginning and win 20 games next year and have a real chance in the lottery to get a player? There's nobody like Wembanyama that I know of, although there's always somebody. By January, we'll be told there's somebody out there who's going to be the next great player in the history of basketball, because that happens every year. But that's the first decision he has to make. I'm gonna re-sign Porzingis and Kuzma, and I'm going to recommit to Beal and go forward from there and try to add to them, or I'm going to not re-sign those two guys. I'm going to take all that cap money that I'll have and start from scratch. And I don't think he can trade Beal because of his contract. He also has a no-trade clause in there. But the other two, he has to decide, do I build around these three or do I go in a different direction? That's his first decision. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike the new owner of the football team, whenever that happens, whose first decision has to be what the team's name should be, since apparently they can't get the Commander's name to themselves.
Yeah, they've got patent and trademark issues.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So say, fine. We don't want the patent. We'll go find a better name.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go, and I do want to ask you about your weekend plans, but I wanted to ask you a baseball question, not about the Nats.
Sure.
It's about the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have done here since Mike Elias was hired as their executive, Brandon Hyde as their manager, is similar, because they haven't achieved, you know, getting to the World Series, but kind of similar to what you saw with the Houston Astros. Now, the Houston Astros won a couple World Series. One of them they cheated.
Right.
I get it. But they went to four. And Mike Elias was in Houston as an executive there, an assistant executive there. So he kind of saw them building from scratch when they were winning 50-plus games to 100.
Right.
The Orioles have the second-best record in baseball, similar to what Houston has done building that roster. It's very impressive. I get it. We're only 50 games into the season, but we saw what they did last year. This is a team that won 50 games a couple years ago when Brandon Hyde was first hired. Now they have the second best record in baseball, and Elias and Hyde got to get a lot of credit for it.
They do, and you know, a couple years, I think they lost 100 games in 2021, which is only 2 years ago. And I remember, you know, watching interviews during in game, which were all rah 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 as you expect. And thinking, these guys just aren't getting it done. And they kept talking about the guys in the minor leagues, and when they get here, we're going to be so much better. Guess what? They were right. They knew what they were talking about. Elias is drafted brilliantly, particularly in 2019 when his first pick was Rushman, who, 28 teams passed on? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those deals where and people are going to look back and say, who were those 28 guys that were drafted before Rushman? But, yeah, they've done a hell of a job turning around. You know, it's interesting you bring it up, Jason, because earlier this week, they have all these rankings. Everything's about rankings now, power rankings. And I saw two different baseball power rankings, and the Orioles were not in the top 10 in either one of them, with, as you said, the second best record in baseball. And at some point, people are going to look up and say, wait a minute, these guys are really good. They won 83 games last year in the strongest division in baseball, and they've got the second best record in baseball right now in the strongest division in baseball. And if you watch them play, which I do, because they're fun to watch, they're really good. They can hit, they can run, they can field, they have very good pitching, young pitching, and I think they could be a serious deal come October. I hope so. It'd be fun because Baltimore's been a really good baseball town for a lot of years, although the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, except for those couple of Buck Showalter years, have really been disappointing.
John, you were talking about Rushman was the number one pick overall in the draft. You might be thinking
was he? I thought he was 29 for some reason.
I think you might be thinking of Gunnar Henderson.
Maybe that's it. I know there's somebody on their team who got overlooked
because
in the draft.
Adley was definitely the number one pick overall. Yeah,
was he? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
Gunner
and he should have been.
First pick in the second round, I think.
Yeah, Gunnar was first pick in the second
round.
But,
all right,
like
my bad.
Like you said, they've done a really good job. I just think it's very impressive to kind of turn it around that quick.
It is, and it's and I'm still waiting for attendance to start reflecting how good they are because it hasn't yet.
Yeah, I was watching a game last week. I can't remember who they were playing, but I was kind of surprised at how many people were there, and they were showing some crowd shots, and the fans were definitely into it. But I don't know what their overall attendance numbers are.
Yeah, they've been up and down. Certain nights, you know, when they're playing the Yankees or whomever, they've been very good. Other nights, you know, they're playing Tampa Bay, who has the best record in baseball, and they were drawing like 18,000. It should be more than that.
So what are your plans for the holiday weekend?
Very quiet. To be honest, I have some book promo stuff to do for Faraday. That'll be going strong right up until Father's Day for obvious reasons. We're going to have some people over on Sunday. And other than that, it's going to be nice and quiet.
All right. Well, enjoy the weather. It's going to be really nice this weekend.
Yes, it is, apparently. So looking forward to that.
Have a great time with
your
family.
Right. Weekend.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, all you guys.
Yep. All right,
thanks.
This is the great John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. It is golf season full swing. Get into Golfdom. Take advantage of their 50% trade bump. That's right. You get rid of your old clubs and get credit plus a bonus 50% towards anything in the store. That's through Sunday. Golfdom, live the game. Of course, they have locations in Tysons, Annapolis, and now Rockville. Coming up next, we open up the entertainment page here on The Fan.
Cakes.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.